Hello, I'm Jeff Watts, and welcome to Optometric Quarterly 93. In this edition of OQ, we focus on technological advances with implications for ocular health. Our first interview explores the potential of new DNA testing kits to transform approaches to diagnosing and treating a range of ocular disorders. Next, we move on to discuss the challenges to eye care posed by our increasing cultural reliance on digital screens of all shapes and sizes. And we end with a look at new research that challenges the film industry to be more creative in its approach to accessibility and bring audio description into the 21st century. In the quarterly review, Jeff Robison discusses papers on meibomian lipids, the impact on children's visual outcomes of smoking during pregnancy, hydroxychloroquine and toxicity, new benefits of statins, and contact lens fitting for presbyopic correction. All current and previous editions of Optometric Quarterly can be explored on the Docket website at www.docket.info on your computer, tablet, or smartphone. OQ is also available for download as a podcast from the iTunes Store, or direct to your iPhone or iPad using the free Docket OQ app from the App Store. If you'd like to opt in to receive a CD, you can sign up at www.docket.info/mailings. We'd like to hear your views on the program. To provide feedback, simply complete the short survey on the OQ page of the Docket website, or via the Docket OQ app, or by emailing inquiries at docket.info. Recently, there's been increasing excitement around the development of DNA testing kits for a range of ocular diseases. Test kits have been developed for specific inherited eye conditions, such as granular corneal dystrophy, as well as to indicate the genetic risk of developing some common multifactorial conditions, such as AMD. Granular corneal dystrophy is an autosomal dominant hereditary disorder with a known inheritance pattern, so a DNA test which can demonstrate the presence of the defective gene is conclusive. People with the defective gene who undergo refractive surgery may develop a rapid deterioration in their corneal health, and the test will help to avoid this. In the case of age-related macular degeneration, however, the genetic risk factors have many variables, meaning that the result of a DNA test is more complicated to interpret. In conversation with Bill Harvey, Professor John Marshall, the Frost Professor of Ophthalmology at the Institute of Ophthalmology, UCL, clarifies exactly how these DNA test kits work, how to interpret the results, and what accurate conclusions ophthalmologists and optometrists can draw from these types of test.
John, thanks for coming in today to talk to Docket. Firstly, could you give us a brief introduction to the general principle of DNA testing and its potential use in optometry?
Well, DNA screening has really mushroomed and has developed from the Human Genome Program. The real problem initially was that screening was carried out for the most part in research laboratories as specific research projects and was expensive and extremely time-consuming. That has changed dramatically because now with the Human Genome Program having reported, we now know a myriad of genes. We have much, much more efficient detecting systems and they're very much faster. So we're now in a position whereby in many situations with specific gene defects, we can screen over a 24-hour period merely from a swab of the inside of the mouth.
And what types of ocular diseases might we be able to use these tests to detect?
There's a problem with ocular diseases in the sense that it's only worthwhile screening when you have enough genes or you know enough about specific genes to make specific comments. At the moment, we don't have all the genes responsible for AMD. We certainly don't have all the genes responsible for glaucoma, and we have very little knowledge about genes for keratoconus and for diabetes. So in those situations, whilst we can do some effective screening, it's not terribly effective because we can't completely exclude a person for genes that we don't know. Now, we're very lucky in other situations, at the moment relatively small, such as the granular dystrophies, because we know the specific genes that cause these, and we can very easily screen patients in order to detect whether or not they are heterozygotes for those diseases.
So in the specific case of granular corneal dystrophy, how does the test work?
Well, the patient is screened by taking a buccal swab. That goes away to the laboratory. We look for two specific gene defects. That is detected in the laboratory or not, and then reported back to the clinic or the patient. Now, the importance of that is that it will effectively prevent patients from undergoing refractive surgery, PRK or LASIK, if they are inappropriate individuals. Because in both those surgical techniques, fibroblasts are stimulated, and we know that the granular dystrophies are related to a gene defect of one of the products of fibroblasts. So a patient could come into a clinic for refractive surgery, there would be no clinical symptoms, the surgeon could carry out the procedure, and then within 8 months of the procedure, the patient could have a rampant problem because of stimulating artificially this disease process. So genetic screening there is a really, really useful device.
In more complex cases, where gene expression is heterozygous, such as in AMD, can you draw accurate conclusions to predict risk from a DNA test?
Well, AMD is a really particular problem because we know that there are several genes involved in AMD. But the major risk factor in AMD is aging. So even if we had no genetic defect, we would still, all of us, have a central retinal problem due to aging of the cells of the retina. The other question you have to ask yourself is, if there is no treatment, do you really want to know? So in some cases, such as the inherited retinal dystrophies, retinitis pigmentosa, etc., some parents actively want their children screened, whilst others say, I don't see any point because you can't do anything anyway. Now, from a research standpoint, we need to screen as many people as possible as soon as we have the genes, because that means when we do have specific treatments, then we know which cohort of patients to call in. And as I'm sure you're aware, we already have a number of gene therapy trials in the field of retinitis pigmentosa and choroid uremia.
So with diseases like AMD, and our understanding of the genetic risk factors being insufficient to accurately predict risk or indicate treatment, how do you think DNA tests will transform current methods of managing patients?
Well, in relation to AMD, unfortunately, most patients present late, and many have already lost the sight of one eye. Currently, we have, I would almost say, palliative treatment for the wet or vascular form of AMD with Avastin and Lucentis. But this is treating end-stage complications. It's not treating the underlying disease process. 90% of AMD patients suffer from the dry form, for which at the moment we do not have a viable form of treatment. So what we really need is to find the genes, the gene product, why that causes death of cells, and how we can then address that as a fundamental attack on the underlying disease process, not treating end-stage disease and hoping that we're going to prolong vision before the end of life.
What genetic data are the tests that are currently available actually looking for? Am I right in saying that you're looking for single nucleotide polymorphisms, or SNPs?
In the corneal dystrophies, we are looking for a specific gene defect. And that's a single gene acting by itself. But in many genetic conditions, we have multifactorial allele interference. And that then makes it very, very difficult to come up with a really good clinical diagnosis. So laboratory tests, when they are at their best, look for specific genes, single genes, causing specific conditions. Great. The most problematic area, lots of genes acting together in very complex ways, creating real problems. And as recently, I'm sure everybody is aware, in the eye we also have mitochondrial dystrophies. Now, these are defects caused by mitochondrial DNA, which is a whole different issue.
It's interesting you mentioned mitochondrial DNA, as there's been a lot of publicity about this lately. Do you foresee any ethical concerns regarding DNA testing for ophthalmic or ocular disease?
At the moment, when we can detect a gene defect and effect either treatment or prevention of inappropriate treatment, then there is general acceptance. And in many countries, genetic screening has now been accepted for example, the granular dystrophies. A small area, but nevertheless proof of principle. The areas where genetic screening has become slightly problematic is where people are doing bulk screening, often in unlicensed laboratories, and here the fear is whether or not that information gets into the wrong hands, such as insurance companies, who may refuse premiums, may put up higher premiums. So that's a separate issue, but it's one that the regulators have to consider in the future.
There are differences in how people can access such tests in the US and in Europe. Can you just briefly explain why this might be?
In the US, they have allowed the detection of the granular dystrophies, and that's set up there. And they are addressing each of these other issues, but in relation to usefulness, i.e., is it going to prevent anything? Is it going to change treatment? Similar things are happening in Europe, but I have to say that Europe is now tending towards the FDA system, and most of the major companies are now going offshore for developments into countries like China and India.
At the moment, which healthcare professionals are using DNA testing for granular dystrophies?
They are currently being used in some ophthalmology clinics. So the patient comes in prior to surgery. There is a fee, I think it's around $100 US. They have a buccal swab taken, it goes off to the laboratory, it comes back and either, yeah, you're fine, go ahead with the surgery, or we would advise you not to go ahead with the surgery. Now, that may well come into optometric practices, as they are really the gatekeepers of refractive surgery. So it may well be that the initial screening is done as a result of a buccal swab taken in an optometric outlet.
So will this become an increasingly important part of optometric practice as more tests become available?
I think there is a great underutilisation of optometrists in this country. They know far more about eyes than most general practitioners, so I'm sure that given the changes in medicine and further attempts to reduce costs of medical practitioners, we're going to see more and more involvement of optometrists in things like this, and I think it's an excellent thing.
And finally, how do you see this area developing in the future?
Genetic testing is going to be a huge development area in the future, not only in GP practices, but in any medical, paramedical outlet. It's going to grow and grow and grow as more and more of the genes become available, as the tests become faster and cheaper. I'm sure we're going to see a huge explosion here. And because so many eye genes are already known, optometry can play a major frontier role.
Thank you, John and Bill.